Lord. Mm-hmm. No, for He rules the world. We're doing this one and this one. That's all right.
Are
we sang it.
All good? All done?
Yes. Yes. To go through O Holy Night.
Oh,
not today, right now. It's for Christmas Eve.
Thank you.
Good morning. Now, the rest of you, good morning.
Good morning.
I thought you were here. Hallelujah. In the scriptures this morning, we want to read some super cool verses. Chapter 9, verse 2 of Isaiah says, "The people who walked in darkness, that's me and you, have seen a great light. And those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." And then back in chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." And then back in chapter 9, beginning in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. "Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and judgment from this time forth and forevermore." Forevermore. Hallelujah. "For the Lord, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, will perform this." Bless the Lord. Today we celebrate the coming of Jesus. Jesus came. He's coming again. Hallelujah. He is alive. He is alive today and with us. Let's stand together. As we just heard the prophecies in Isaiah 700 years before Jesus came, and they all were true. And we are so thankful. So let us just offer praise and glory to the Lord for what he has done, for what he is doing, and what he will do. Father, we praise you and thank you this morning for your goodness, for the promises you made to us. They are all true and faithful. And we rejoice in you today. We rejoice in you, for today we celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus. And we're so, so thankful. In Jesus we pray in your name. Amen. Amen.
Save us all from Satan's I'm reading this morning from Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ is as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates God with us. And Joseph, being roused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus.
Deserve the Thank you. to Ethan. Would you stand? I just felt like if you could picture your hands out in front of you like this, that he put in your hands a weightiness. It's a weightiness of an anointing that he's placing upon you. You haven't experienced it before. It's new. And he's saying, my son, I am anointing you for such a time. And I am placing a heavy anointing, but my strength is great in you, my son, and I will bear the burden with you, and that anointing will rest on you all the days of your life, my son. I have a great purpose and a great plan for you. Look to me, and I will lead you. I will guide you, my son. My spirit is upon you. My spirit is within you, my son. Hear my voice and heed what I am saying. And for Cody, I felt like he was saying, he showed me a picture of a great flame, and he says, I'm taking you back. I'm taking you back to a fire that burned bright, and I'm rekindling a love that was deep, and I'm rekindling it, my son, in dark, deep places inside of you. I'm rekindling a love. And I'm stirring within you gifts. I'm stirring spiritual gifts within you, my son. I'm pouring them out upon you this day. It's a gift, and I'm pouring them on you. Receive from my hand. I have an abundance of goodness for you, an abundance to pour over you. Allow my spirit into those spaces, because I will lead you and guide you in them. And Adrian, I really felt like God was saying he's putting, it was a strength and an endurance and a strength for this moment that you need in this time of your life, for this journey that you're on with this little one. And I just felt like God was saying, I'm pouring it over you. You will walk out these days in my strength, not yours. You will walk out these days to the time it is set with great joy and anticipation, but with peace and strength. My hand is upon that one inside of you. From the very moment of conception, my hand has been upon that child. I have called them. Them by name.
As we close our time of prayer, I would love if you would stand. We're going to believe God to move in the sense of the harvest. The truth is, when Jesus came as a baby, for God so loved the whole world that he sent his son. And our hearts really need to be about the harvest. Like, the church needs to be more in tune with what God's heart is for the harvest of the souls of people that are in our community, that are in our nation, that are in our world, that are in our family, that are the ones that we bump shoulders with at a job, that we need to ask the Lord to give us a heart for the harvest. And then he says to cry out to the Lord of the harvest that he might send laborers in and that they might reap the harvest. So there's harvest everywhere we go. And he's calling us and equipping us as the body of Christ. And I was reminded when the body of Christ was praying for Peter, and he was trapped in the jail, and they're praying, and the Lord shook the jail and let him out. Who was praying? The church. And there are people that are enslaved. They're trapped in their hopelessness, into depression. They're enslaved in the things of this world. And we have a church that believes in freedom. And you have the ability to pray for someone's freedom this morning, that God's love would just overwhelm them. If you can think of anyone, I ask that you would pray that God would move on their behalf, but that you would ask the Lord to send laborers into the harvest field. Would you lift your voices this morning, crying out, saying, God, we ask that you would move. We ask, God, first, that you would stir our hearts for the harvest like never before,
that as we're stepping even into a new year, God, that we would have such a compassionate heart for the lost, that you would fulfill and move your will and your good pleasure in us, that we might bring people into the kingdom for such a time as this. I'm asking, Lord, that you would move in us in ways that we've never felt before, in ways we've never seen before, that we would have such a heart for the lost, that we would be motivated and moved, and that you would equip us with boldness and strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to see people come into the kingdom. We're crying out for Walworth County this morning, God, and we're asking that every single person in this county would be saved. Come on, church, can you believe for God to move, that every person in our county would come to Jesus? We thank you, God, for that. We thank you, Lord, that none would be lost, that your desire is that none would perish, but that all would come into the kingdom. And so it's our desire as the same, that we would see the people in our neighborhoods come to Jesus. We cry out for our neighborhoods. We cry out for those in the stores and the places of business. We ask, God, that you would move, that you would even send us, oh Lord, that we would be your hands and feet in the world today that would bring transformation and the love of God. I'm asking, Lord, that you would move across our nation in revival. That is our heart, God. More than anything else, Lord, that there would be a revival coming to our land that we've never seen before, that would touch from the north, the south, the east, to the west, that there would be such a divine move of your Spirit that would just shift the atmosphere in our land, and that it would just catapult into the other lands of this world. God, we thank you that you are the God of all the nations, and we cry out, God, that you would send laborers even into the nations. We ask that you would move upon missionaries across the world, that you would strengthen them and impart into them courage and boldness like never before, and that you would bring freedom to the captives. We just thank you, Lord. We declare that every person in this house, that every person in their family would be saved. I make a strong declaration that the generations to come would be saved and set free, that they would walk with the Lord all the days of their lives, that each person according to your family would know the Lord, that there is something the Lord can do generationally in this house, that this is a day of salvation. We thank you, Lord. Would you give him great thanks this morning? I think God deserves a really big thanks. That was too weak. Come on, stronger. Give him great praise this morning. He's worthy of our praise. He's so good. Isn't he good? Would you tell your neighbor how good the Lord is? We are so thankful that you're here this morning. It's so good to have you in the house this morning. Greet your neighbor and shake the other person's hand that you didn't shake and tell them, we're glad you're here. We have our Christmas Eve service coming. It's an opportunity for you to come on Christmas Eve and celebrate Jesus. There's going to be some amazing things happening that night. This is a list. I encourage you to invite your family. I encourage you to come and participate. It is going to be such a wonderful time at 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve. It is a one-hour service. I encourage you to invite someone. I know I say that a lot, but I actually encourage you to do it. Not just hear it and let it pass by. But the person that you think would not come, the one that you think that would say, absolutely not, I encourage you to invite them boldly. We also have a New Year's Eve event. This is our New Year's Eve event, and so you can read the details on it. We would love for you to come and be a part of that. It's going to be a wonderful night where you can be prayed over, and we're just believing that God is going to speak over your next year. How many of you guys want to see 2025 be the greatest year you've ever had? You believe that the Lord can do it? I believe that he can do great wonders, and I'm excited for what 2025 is going to be. We have a special from our children's.
The title is Oh, What a King.
Who am I that you would choose me? Just a lowly girl from a simple family. Who am I that angels speak my name?
Epic Youth. And this year for our youth, we are memorizing, and we are in the process of memorizing all of Psalm 139. And it's powerful about your identity and who God made you. And so we are actually currently on verse like 11, but they're going to share parts that they've memorized, but each of us individually have memorized all the way through 11. So
Psalm 139, 1 through 6. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. know, when I rise up and I sit down, you assert my thoughts from afar.
You searched out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways.
Before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together.
You hemmed me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it.
We have a children's story this morning, and then we have a gift for anybody that's 18 and below. So if the children that would want to would come, I would love it. Thanks for coming. This story is called Waiting, Waiting, Waiting for Christmas. Are you all waiting for Christmas? Yeah. And this story is about two young boys. One of them is six. Is anybody in this group six? This size. And one is nine. Is anybody nine? We got some nine-year-olds. So they're about kids your age. So a woman named Elizabeth and a husband named Herman, welcome Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Herman had locked up their store for the night. They had one of those stores that had everything in it. They had washers and dryers and weird tools, and they had toys, and people ordered stuff from their store. And everyone had picked up everything they had ordered except for one. One layaway was up on the shelf, but otherwise everything was picked up. And so they were thankful. And it was 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and they were headed home. And they were glad to be heading home. And so they got home, and the next morning they had Christmas together. And Elizabeth and Herman only had one son. And so Christmas was just kind of, it just seemed kind of boring this year. And by 9 o'clock, they'd all eaten and opened all their presents, and their son had gone out to play, and Herman had gone back to bed. And Elizabeth felt really sad. She felt like, okay, Christmas, and this is it. And she was going about, and she looked out the window, and it was snowing. And sleet was coming down, and it looked like nasty out there, and she was glad she didn't have to go out. And she was thinking about that, and all of a sudden something happened inside of her heart. She got this thing that kind of stirred her and said, you should go to the store. And she thought, go to the store? Why would I go to the store? Nobody goes to the store on Christmas Day. This is, and she pushed it aside. And she felt that in her heart again, go to the store. And she got busy and she did something and she heard, go to the store. And she thought that was the strangest thing. But finally she said to Herman, I'm going to the store. He said, why would you be going to the store? It's Christmas Day. She put on her boots and her gloves and her coat and her hat, and she headed out the door, and the sleet was coming and hitting her, and the wind was blowing, and she was shivering, and it was so cold. And she thought, why am I going to the store? This is strange. Why am I going to the store? And finally she saw the store up ahead. There it was. And there were two small children huddled together looking in the window of the store.
And the one little boy was crying. The six-year-old was sobbing. His little shoulders were going up and down. And she thought, what in the world? What is going on here? And she got there and she said, boys, what are you doing out here? And she had him come on into the store, and she shut the door because it was so cold out, and they didn't have any gloves on, and they didn't have boots on, and their clothes were tattered. And she said, why are you here? I don't understand. Why have you come? And the oldest one said, he had seen her coming, and he had told his brother, here she comes. I knew she would come. Here she comes. And so they're in the store, and they said, we came, my Jimmy, and Jimmy was the six-year-old, my Jimmy didn't get any Christmas, and so I came, and I have $3, and I want to buy some skates for my Jimmy. And she said, skates, we don't have any. And about that time, her eyes saw the package up there on the shelf, and she thought, could it possibly be that there would be skates inside that package? She went and she got it and she tore it open. There were a pair of skates, and she said under her breath, God, please let them fit him. Please let them fit him. Please let them fit him. She brought him over, and the older boy took the skates and they put him on the six-year-old, and he laced them up and they fit perfectly. And he said, look, you have skates now. I bought you some skates. And he went to hand his $3 to Elizabeth. Elizabeth said, I don't want your money. I'll give you the skates, and I want you to take that $3 and buy some gloves. So they were heading out the door, and it was so cold. And she said, why did you boys come to the store on Christmas? Why were you out there? And the older boy got real quiet. And you know what he said? He said, I asked Jesus to give my brother some skates for Christmas. And I knew he would. So we came to the store. And so she sent them on their way. And so you see something amazing in the story. Do you want to know what I think is amazing? That first of all, children talk to God. That's a good thing, don't you think? Do you guys talk to God? Do you tell him about things in your heart? Do you tell him things that you wish would happen? Yeah. God, did you know? Did you guys know that God hears you? He actually hears you. In fact, in Psalms 91:15, listen to this. When they call upon me, is that you? When you call upon him, I will answer. That's a promise. He said, if you call upon him, he will answer. And I will be with them in trouble, and I will rescue them and honor them, and I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. And so you can be assured that when you talk to God, just like the boy in our story, he hears and he answers. And so I ordered something for you. I ordered a keychain with skate on it, some skates. And each of you are going to get this, a keychain. They're all different colors, so you can trade with your friends if you don't like the color you get. And this is to remind you of the story that we had this morning about a boy that believed God would do so much that he took his brother to the store, and God answered and gave them skates. And this is to remind you that he hears you and that he will answer you too. Amen? Amen. Do you want to each take a bag? You want a different color? Okay. Thank you so much. For all the youth, there's one in here for you too. So Angie will pass that out. Thank you.
I guess they want to stay. You want blue instead, or you like pink? You want pink? Good. There's even one for the little guy, for the baby. You want this one? Okay. There you go. There you go.
Amen. That's a good story. Amen. It's just like God to do things like that for little kids. Big kids too. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you right now for your word. For the power of your word is alive in us. And it quickens our hearts. Makes us feel refreshed and renewed. Your word is alive and powerful, and we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you realize that most of the mental images that we have of Christmas come from medieval art or Christmas cards? When you think about Christmas, you kind of picture things you see on Christmas cards. Many of the Christmas cards you see, for instance, show three wise men. Right? How many wise men were there? You know what the scripture doesn't say. It says men, so there's more than one. But you don't know if there's two or three or six. You don't know. Maybe because there's three gifts, we think there's three men. But who knows? We really have no idea. And maybe because we have kind of a misconception about how many wise men there are, we have a misconception about the shepherds that were there. We have an image of the shepherds. They're sweet, gentle folks, just minding their flocks by night, just hanging out. But that's not really true. Shepherds in that day were the lowest class of society. They were the outcasts. They were dirty, uncouth men. You know, just yuck. You'd see them, you'd say, yuck. The pictures on our Christmas cards are further from the truth. But you notice who the angels went to share the story of Jesus. Shepherds. He went to the shepherds. On that wonderful night, they came in glory to the shepherds. I mean, I wanted the angels to do something spectacular. If I would have written the story, I'd have written that the angels went to the palace, talked to Herod, showed him what's going on. Maybe he went to the temple. Maybe they went to the temple and showed the priests who's coming. Maybe they've gone to the governor of the land and showed him what was up. You think maybe they should have. But no, that's not what God decided. It's not what God desired. It's not the way God wanted it. He sent them to the shepherds. He sent them to the shepherds. So the first point is that Jesus came to the shepherds because of them. He came to them because of you. In this picture, we're reminded that Jesus came for people like shepherds, like you and like me. He didn't come to the religious elite, the political savvy, those governors and rulers of the land. Because Jesus went to the shepherds because those were the kind of people he came to save. Listen to the power of this text in Luke chapter 2. I mean, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Luke 2:8 through 11. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Wow. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not fear, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." Then my favorite verse, verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Wow. The angels came to the shepherds. They were people just doing their everyday thing. They were doing what they did every day, every night. They were going through the routine of life. And then on that night, something amazing happened. God, Emmanuel, with us. The shepherds came to the angels. The angels came to the shepherds. It's not about God meeting us on great holy days. It's not about Him showing up in unexplainable ways. It's about Him meeting us in ordinary ways on ordinary days, but in an extraordinary way. The birth of Jesus is about God coming to us in our everyday lives and saying to us, "Don't be afraid. Look, I proclaim to you good news." It's about God meeting us in our pain and loneliness. It's about God meeting us in our frustration and anger. It's about God meeting us on Monday and Wednesday and maybe even Friday. It's about God wanting to be part of your lives every single day. I think that's why God sent the angels to the shepherds, to let us know that this child came for all people, and we're one of them, even the most ordinary. Even for you and me, He came. That's what the birth of Jesus means. It was radical what God did. Radical action. A radical Savior. He came because of you. He came for you. He came to bring you into His family. And the second thing about it is the shepherds were in shock. Did you notice that in the verse? I like this verse, verse 9. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid." I wondered what that word "sore afraid" means. I thought, well, I'm going to look at some other translations, and I found that word, and some says they were terrified, and some says they were terribly frightened, and some said they were absolutely terrified, scared out of their wits. I mean, they were really afraid. There's no doubt about it. They didn't know what this meant. In fact, a lot of people believe that angels, when they appeared to you, it was a sign of judgment, that God was coming to judge you, to bring wrath upon you. Judgment was about to fall. But the angel said to them, "Fear not." I like that. You know that God says "fear not" about 360 sometimes in the Bible? One for every day of the year. He says to you, "Fear not. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you." When they finished talking, it says the heavens opened and the sky was filled with glorious music. The angels were singing. This was the most significant day in the history of the entire world with the angels. I can imagine they were just holding their breath, waiting for them to finish that message. The sky exploded with angels. I don't know how many there were, but there was at least three. At least three. Yeah. Be nice if you could keep your sermon. We'll find it. So you push the button, and it doesn't do anything. Yay. You have to, here we go. Sometimes they saw the angels as judgment. I said that, right? That's where we left off. And they said, don't be afraid. Fear not. Oh, I know, we were at heaven's open with glorious music. Angels were singing everywhere. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. The sky filled with glorious light and angels singing. Hallelujah. And they were singing God's goodwill toward men. God's, I can't say that verse. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. They were singing a new revelation. God was about to become our Father. In the midst of an ordinary night, those ordinary shepherds encountered an extraordinary God. They must have been really surprised when God broke into their evening with an extraordinary message. God met those shepherds right there in the field. And God meets us in our lives, wherever we're at. He breaks into our lives with his truth, with his light. That's what the birth of Jesus means. And the third point in this message is that sometimes seeing is believing. I know that's backwards from what we normally say, but sometimes seeing is believing. The heavenly chorus are singing, praise the Lord. And then they return to the heaven. The angels unto them. The sky was dark again. And the shepherds thought, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do with what God told us? And they just had to see for themselves. And so they ran off toward Bethlehem, looking for the baby, to see what the angels had said. And look at verse 16 through 18 of chapter 2. Let's read what it says. So they rushed off to Bethlehem and found everything just as the angels. I'm reading in a different translation than you have up there. Because the translation I'm reading from you, I don't have. I don't have to put up there. Never mind. So they rushed off to Bethlehem and found everything just as the angel had told them. Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a feeding trough for cattle. When they saw this, they reported to everyone they met the message that had been told about this child. And all the people who heard it were filled with amazed wonder at what they said. Eventually, the whole world will celebrate the coming of the Christ child. But for now, only the shepherds knew what happened. And their response was what should arise from all of us. The shepherds returned to their flocks, praising and glorifying God. When we read Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, we're filled with amazement and wonder. We expect something miraculous. We expect the amazement to continue. We want the mystery of the moment of Jesus' birth to last in our lives. Because sometimes our lives get pretty predictable and routine. Our schedules get frantic. Our children are so busy with schoolwork. All those things crowd in into our lives. But we forget the amazement of Christmas. We hear the angels singing and the shepherds, and we sometimes we allow the daily ticking of the clock our daily responsibility is to crowd into our lives. But we can't do that. The challenge is for us to always find ways to celebrate the presence of God in our lives, to celebrate Him in the ordinary moments of our life. Through the smile of a friend, maybe the laugh of a little baby, whatever it is, to celebrate Him. One of the charges that the people in the church had was that the men have turned the world upside down. That's what we need to do. We need to turn the world upside down, to share the message of Jesus in such a way that people are amazed at the wonder of it. I heard a story of a man named Chris Mickelson. He's a missionary, and he's an evangelist, and he preaches often in Pakistan. And I thought it was interesting to hear the story about him right now when we just took an offering for Pakistan. Or some of us did anyway, some other things. But anyway, this story, he was preaching in Pakistan, and there was a city named Peshawar. And it's a city up in the northern part by the border of another country. I don't remember which one. Anyway, he wanted to go to that city, and they said, well, it's really dark up there. And he wanted to go. And he went to Pakistan, and he never got to go there, never got to go. But then in 2023, they finally decided to go there. He said, when we drove into that city, you could feel the spiritual darkness. You could see it in the physical darkness of the region and the building and the people's clothes. None of us was what we experienced in the rest of Pakistan. We met for prayer in a church, and then we headed to an open field for a crusade. I thought it wasn't going to be a large crowd, but that was okay. We were finally in the city of Peshawar, and I just wanted to share the gospel of Jesus with anyone who came. We were shocked by what greeted us when we walked on stage. Over 35,000 people had gathered in an open field to hear the message of Jesus. As soon as I opened my mouth to preach, the Holy Spirit started moving in power. There was such a flow of the Holy Spirit throughout the whole message. I was overwhelmed with God's presence. I knew it wasn't me. I knew it was God. You could almost hear a pin drop as I unashamedly preached the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ as the one and only who can save us from our sins. When I made an altar call for salvation, more than 24,000 people stood up. That's pretty wow. And they received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the greatest miracle of all, salvation. And he said, just to report to you from Pakistan, he said, there are thousands of pastors and churches throughout Pakistan who are on fire for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. When the shepherds had seen Jesus, it changed their lives forever. There's nothing more in Scripture about them. We're not told what they did or what happened to them. But I know one thing. They were never the same after that night. They were never the same. In a moment, we're going to sing Joy to the World. But I want you to remember, I want you to be amazed. I want you to stand in awe and wonder at the birth of Jesus and what it means for you. Listen, and I will tell you, the most amazing thing has happened. Now go and share it with everyone you meet. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let's stand.
Let every heart.
Father, we thank you and we praise you today. As we celebrate the birth of the coming of Jesus, we rejoice. We rejoice. We give you praise and glory and honor. We thank you that we can worship and praise you. We thank you for your goodness and for your life. We thank you that you shared with us the precious news of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord. Put your hand in your heart this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you his peace. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Go in his grace today and celebrate with joy.